Jesus, Heiland meiner Seele, lass an deine Brust mich flehen, da die Wasser näher ausgehen und die Wetter höher sehen. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergebe ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Berg mich in den Lebensstürmen, bis vollendet ist mein Lauf, führe mich zum sicheren Hafen, nimm dann meine Seele auf. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagend hab ich nur auf dich. Lass, oh, lass mich nicht alleine, ewig nur und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, das kein Ebel mich erschreckt. Mit dem Schatten deiner Fliege sei mein wehrlos Haupt bedeckt. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergeb ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade, volles Sehne, sind in dir, o Jesu mein. Lass die Heilung mich bestreben, nimm gereinig mich herein. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die den Durst auf ewig stillt. Sei der Born in meinen Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord, supreme throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and no more. Let's talk about Jesus, let all the world proclaim the glory and majesty of such a wondrous name. The babe at Bethlehem, the bright and morning star, let's sing his praise as near and Let's talk about Jesus, the bread of life is He, the Savior of the world, the man of Galilee, the prophet, priest, and king, the mighty God is He, the well of living water free. Let's talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He, the great precision to the true old history. The lily pure and white, the rose of Sharon fair, the shepherd of such tender care. Let's talk about Jesus, the rock of ages He, the lamb for sinners slain, the man of Calvary. The great Emmanuel, the Word of God sublime, He is our bridegroom so divine.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look for His wonderful grace,
and the things of this world will grow strangely dim, and the light of His glory and grace. He will rise upon Jesus, look for His wonderful and the things of this earth will go strangely dim, and the light of His glory and grace. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, look for His wonderful days, and the things of this world will go strangely dim, and the light of His glory and grace. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with hay. Oh, won't you come and go alone? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps of glory land. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with hands. Oh, won't you come and go alone? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the heart in glory land. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds, not made with hands. Oh, won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps of glory land. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway. Your word is a lamp to walk by. It's just, that's the truth. And a light to illuminate my path. Heavenly Father, I want to stop for a moment in time just to give You thanks for this another day of life, Lord, for the many things you do for us and have done are just too numerous to mention, Lord. All the goodness and mercy you've shown in our life, Lord, you're led and guided by that of your Spirit. You've kept us alive. You've kept us safe from all the horror that's going around the world, Lord. Many people getting killed. You've kept us safe and sound and give us a place to stay, a job to do, Lord. Most of all, you open up your word for us, Lord. We just pray you'll always be, just pray, Lord, we'll always be grateful for what you've done in our lives, Lord, simply because we surrendered our will to you, Lord. We just pray to continue to do with us as you see fit, Lord. Lead and guide us by your Spirit, Lord. Help us to be grateful, Lord. I just pray for the people that you'll open up their understanding, open up their hearts so they can have the joy that you and I, that the two of us enjoy here in your presence, Lord. And just pray to gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about footprints. Footprints in the sands of time. You gotta, you know, there's heavenly footprints. If a guy just steps and listens and takes time out and has not allowed himself to be brainwashed with the society that we're living in, then you can actually have a normal life, a life that you're meant to have. And like if you were living back in the days of Jesus and you were concerned about eternity and about heavenly things, you would have seen footprints and back in the days of Jesus, and you would have heard about a little baby being born in Bethlehem there and had to be born in a manger, and you would have heard about the shepherds, that the angel, all the hosts of heaven came and sang song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. And then you'd have heard about the shepherds, you meet the shepherds, and they went to see about this newborn baby there in that manger. Well, it was the talk of the town at that time. And then a few years later, you'd have heard about three wise men coming to Jerusalem to look for that for the king of the Jews. And you'd have seen that whole uproar, because it says that the town was shook up, you know, the king feared it and all that. They were shocked at what these three wise men wrought. Where's he that is born king of the Jews? Yanked people out of their slumber, and all of a sudden here come three men from the east and try to get their attention. See, like I say, you gotta see, you walk through the saints, the footprints through the saints of time. If you were actually like you and I, we would probably notice all these things, because we notice in today's hour. And you'd have seen when that little boy was 12 years old, how he went up to Jerusalem and debated with these scribes and these Pharisees, and they marveled at all that, how well he knew the scripture. And you keep on going, and then you would have seen and then noticed something going on down at the River Jordan. John the Baptist was down there baptizing people, and then Jesus comes down, and then he gets baptized too. You'd have seen that if you were at all sensitive. Like, we can go back in history and we can see exactly what was going on back there. But see, probably when you're living back there, if you just cut up and the things of this world, you wouldn't notice it. But if you're heavenly minded, you would have noticed time and time again where you'd have followed these footsteps like footprints of Jesus. Footprints through the saints of time. And then finally one day you'll find he gets crucified. And then you get the whole town, the whole world was woken up when he got resurrected 3 days later. And all these things were footprints in the saints of time to make us aware there was a Jesus come down from, was sent from God. And you would have known all these things if you were at all sensitive. And here in this hour, it's the same thing here. If people are sensitive, they can hear exactly what we're saying. But if they're caught up and brainwashed, and that, especially that community style living, they think that's the end all, we're off. There's no salvation outside of the honorary colony. I tell you, if you saw how ugly that thing is, you would run from that place like from a hot potato. Because I tell you, I seen the spirit behind that thing, and I tell you, I'm going to spend the rest of my life exposing it for what it is. It's nothing but controlled by Satan. Behind it is the spirit of Satan. And we talk to play, they think we're crazy, but that all the thing they know. They were brought up in there, and they never had a concern about their eternal destiny. But if you have a real gut-wrenching concern about your eternal destiny, you're gonna see exactly what we're trying to say here. All you gotta do is look around. Like, I go take inventory of my own life. When I was 5-6 years old, I had an encounter with that heavenly force. There's a man came to the colony there back when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and the whole atmosphere was charged up. And you can go check it out. I just checked it last night. Claire Jordan from Georgia. He came to our place. He's got some kind of a commune down there, and he was a Christian man. He was something different, and that whole colony was charged up with a heavenly atmosphere. And I wasn't there. They went over, and he gave his testimony over at the church building. I was a bit too young yet to go there, but I could feel, as I was 5 years old, I could feel the whole place was charged up with some kind of a heavenly atmosphere. I didn't know what it was. I just, now when I look back, I knew exactly what it was. It was that heavenly presence when that man came, because they never knew about such a thing. And here's a man that is living in a commune way down there trying to help. That was back in the 60s, in the when the civil rights movement was on in the 50s. And he was starting up, and then he came to our place to visit. I guess, you know, my grandfather was all a little bit outgoing, and they invited him in to have a speech. And like I say, the whole place was charged up with a heavenly presence so much. And I went to sleep. I know exactly where I was. I know which house I was sleeping in. I went to sleep in the evening, and I just, something prompted me to say, you know, if there was a God, if I knew there was a God, I would serve him. That's just that simple as a 5-year-old. And 5-6 years old, I'll have to go back and know exactly. I think it was 1953 or 54. And I guess then the next day, I told you before, I broke through the ice. And there was a hand touching my foot. He said last night, if there was a God, you would serve me. Well, I'm holding your foot now so you don't go under the current. There is a God, and I'm that God that you said you're going to serve back when you're 5 years old. And see, these are just the footprints on the saints of time. And then when I go through my life, like everybody should go, I'm sure everybody has an experience from time to time where the Lord is trying to get their attention. That's what happened to me when I was only 5 years old, and 5-6 years old. Like I say, I'll have to go back and check exactly when it was. But anyway, so as time goes on, from time to time, the Lord would show up, and I've been serving the Lord ever since. I just didn't know about it. And then when I was about 20, 21 years old, I left the colony for 3 years. And then 3 years later, the Lord came by my way at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was up in Edmonton. I was with the racehorses. And he came in the room, and he spoke to me, saying, you're going to go back to Riverside. Well, all my days, I decided I'm never going back to no colony, even as a young guy. I knew that was a hypocrisy. I didn't want no part of that outright life. But he said, you left to go back. And then I just said, oh, I ain't going back. The only way I'm going back is dead. Well, I was so determined never to go back to no colony. But, you know, the Lord has his way. He'll break you down. Then 3 days later, he shows up again. Same, you're going back to Riverside. Well, I still had a little fight left in me, but the third time he came, you're going back to Riverside or else. See, these are kind of footprints in the saints of time for me. And like I say, I'm sure everybody has footprints where they can go back and see when they had some kind of a little bit of an encounter with the heavenly. Just like back in the days of Jesus, if people were sensitive, they could tell there's something going on here. Something off the ordinary, something off the brainwashing path that was going on at that time. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had that whole thing wrapped up, and here comes a man from Galilee, you know, and he just gets everybody's attention and sends shockwaves throughout the world, throughout the then known Israeli world there. And the same thing here. I was up I was just the way the Lord dealt with me throughout time. And then when, like I say, he told me to go back, they called me. And well, finally I went back. And then once I was back there, the Lord saved me. He gave me eternal life. He forgave me of my sin, all my garbage that I used to do when I was growing up, and all the filth that I got involved with. And he forgave me of all that. And then he set me on the course. And then he gave me my commission. Same, I've set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. Just simply spoke to me. And that's been my lot in life, is to be a watchman, to tell people, to go warn people. And if they listen, fine. If not, well, they're going to have to suffer the consequences. And right through my life, I've been had a pretty tough road to hoe, but God's always been there. And then as time went on, he just moved me on. Because back then, I made a promise. If I knew there was a God, I would serve him. And then he came on the scene, and from time to time, he reminded me of that. And remember, he told me, if you knew there was a God, well, there is a God. And all I got to do now, knowing and proving there is a God, then I can serve him. And then, like I say, I didn't even know I was serving the Lord throughout my younger days. But here I was. Yeah, I was caught up in all kinds of garbage, like the flesh of the natural man. What he does, you know, he gets doing things he got not to do. But then behind it all, it's God's rich and mercy, because he has a work for him to do. And I didn't know that at the time, but see, just let the Lord deal with you, and he brings you to that place where we are today. Simply because one day, as a 5-year-old kid, I said, Lord, if I knew there was a God, I would serve him. And he took me at my word, and he brought me, and he saved me time and time again from danger. I could tell you, I could write a book, 3-inch thick, from all the experiences I had with the Lord over the years. And then finally he brought me, he got me to go up against that corruption, they call it. I saw right through that garbage that is all driven by Satan. I didn't know at the time, back in the early 90s, what this was all about. All I know, it was not compatible to the Word of God. And I began to read and search and look, and I found it to be driven by Satan, the satanistic head on it. And I began to speak out, because the Lord woke me up one night. I wanted to go speak for me. And when you do, it's going to cost you everything. And just walking through the sands of time, footprints of Jesus. These are the prints that I left. From time to time, the Lord will show up and direct me and turn me a corner. Back in the day, I was with the razor horse, and told me to go back home. And then when I back home, I became an electrician. And being an electrician, from time to time, the Lord would show up. He showed me exactly how electricity works. And I was off to the races, you know. And then a few years later, he just started working me with his word. And then when I got married, I took 12 years off from this holy roller thing and serving the Lord, and took time out to do exactly what the Bible says. He that's married should take care of the things that pertain to his family, the natural things of life. And that's what I did. 12 years later, when my last daughter was born, the Lord came on the scene. Your life as a Hutterite is over. We got some work to do. Let's go. I want you to go up and expose that cult that I was living in. And finally, at the end of the day, it took a while before they finally excommunicated me, terminated me, because I stood up and I spoke up against that corruption, that system. And I found out, as I didn't know at the time, I didn't know that Satan was the satanist head on it. I didn't know that when I first started talking up back in the early 90s. But as time went on, I could see the horror and the nightmare of what's going on in that colony. It's led by Satan. It's not compatible with the Word of God. Sure, it's a religious system. They try the best that they know how to do, according to religious ideologies, and you wouldn't believe it unless the Lord opens up your understanding and lets you see right the spirit behind it. And that's what I saw. I saw the spirit of that thing. And I tell you what, I began to expose it to this day. We're still exposing and taking the reps off that thing. Because I tell you what, if you ever saw the spirit of it, you'd run from that thing. And then as the time went on, that's where the Lord had us. And he told us to go trucking, and then told me to pick you up. And all this thing is just moving the ball forward, because he knew very well that I can't run this thing along. And then he brings you on board. And then we go trucking for 7 years. And it's all in the hand of God. And then we come back as a 5-year-old. I said to myself, or whoever was listening, I said, if I knew there was a God, I would serve him. And then the Lord set it up. He set this whole pattern up. We're just following the Lord. We're just doing what I promised him. We, because of 5-year-olds, if I knew there was a God, I would serve him. Of course, it's not a very attractive message that we have here, because the world is brainwashed. The heavens of the earth have become drunk with the wine of that religious Roman Catholic diabolical socialistic system. And here we're trying to open up, we're trying to bring a truth and a heavenly truth, and of course we're oddballs. We're completely the scum of society, but that's okay, good and well, because there's people that went through the same thing before us. And we don't mind at all, because God gives us more than we deserve. And here he brings us together to do the very thing that we're doing here, to warn a lost and dying world, to yank it back into the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack, because outside of that, there's no use to even be alive without that ministry, without that ministry of the church here to Laodicea. We found all that, if you can listen to be listening to us here in the last, when it was tested in 2012, we started having these conversations, taping them out, put them out on the internet. It's there for everybody to see. It's the only thing that's solid, that in these closing days of time, it's the only thing that has any value. And if you can only get yourself to a place where you can believe us, you're gonna be right at that very sharpness of land, because there is nothing else out there. These churches, these John Hagee of this world, and these evangelists, oh, they're out there beating their guns together, but they don't mean nothing. It's just a waste of time. Now everybody on YouTube, you go out there and you see how they're yanking, yelling their heads off, there's a revival coming. Well, if you have any respect for the Word of God, you know very well there's no revival coming, because Jesus himself, the Word of Truth, said it back in the day, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is being revealed. Mm-hmm. It was no revival in the days of Noah, mm-hmm. and there is no revival coming here in this closing days of time. Mm-hmm. The only revival there is a slaughter, just like it was back in the days of Noah. The only revival there was is that flood, and the days of Lot. The only revival there was the destruction of Sodom, and here's the same thing. The only revival that's coming is that Gullaton, that slaughter and that butcher, where it says, blessed is he that dies in the Lord for his sword. Satan has it all lined up. All of a sudden, all these people, they're going back to the church, ever since the Charlie Kirk episode. Now the churches are looking, and people are buying Bibles, and well, guess where they go? They go back to these cesspools of churches, because behind that church system is the spirit of Satan. And before it's all over with, guess what they'll do? They'll crowd these people in that church, and one day when the time is right, they'll try to get out of that church, and the doors will be locked. And the only way out of there is through that Gullaton. Mm-hmm. It's saying, blessed is he that dies in the Lord from Vince one. That's the only revival that's coming for the king, for the people of this earth that have been made drunk with the wine of that religious fornication. We read a blueprint. We know exactly what's coming up the road here. If you do not accept this here truth, you're going to have to go through the Gullaton. You're going to have to get your head chopped off. And that's just, we just happened to tap in into the frequency, because back in the 90s, the Lord came by my way saying, I'm coming soon. I'm coming in your lifetime. You need to get ready. Prepare to meet the Lord. Get yourself ready. Seek the Lord while he may be found. These are all footprints at the same time how the Lord has dealt with me throughout life. And there's a lot of people out there the Lord has dealt with them one way or another, but some of them, they choose to just ignore it. They choose to go down the road alive and ignore what the Lord be trying to tell them. I know that Tim Relliford down at Grace and Truth, I know the Lord was dealing with him to start up that work down there, and that pretty soon we were sitting back and watching, and pretty soon he starts caving, he starts compromising, starts showing partiality, what the Bible very clearly says not to have partiality. And things like that, and we watched and we observed all these things. And they put us on a course that we don't want to be a casualty along the road of life like many people that we know. And I know a lot of people that they tap in here for a bit, and then the journey gets a little bit too tough, and then they decide to pack it in, be like that ostrich. That guy doesn't know nothing. So what they do, they push their head in the sand, hoping it'll go away, thinking things will improve. But no, if you ignore this here truth, there's only one place for you to go if you're born again. You're going to have to go through the Gullaton. Just that simple. This is your only exit route. This is your only exit route before that great tribulation sets in, and before all hell breaks loose. And we're just doing exactly what I promised the Lord. If I knew there was a God, I would serve Him. And the Lord set it up that you and I can now serve Him in spirit and truth, and we can put this thing out there for anybody that has a desire and has a concern about their eternal destiny. God, let me tell you, I couldn't tell that, say that 10 years ago, but I can say it now. If you don't come on board here, this is that living water that's going to take you right to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said, the Bible says, come and drink out of the waters of life freely. There's no strings attached. All you got to do is believe what we're trying to say here. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to do nothing. All you got to do is believe it. Believe the message for your day. That's what has always been. Yeah, we keep going back in history. We get going back to the days of Noah. Noah believed God and then reckoned to him for righteousness. He was part of that stream. He just happened to pick up that stream that had been going from eternity past. Ever since the Lord, that God had that big council, He set it in motion. And we just happened to tip into that stream because it's the only thing that'll take you anywhere. All that other garbage out there, it'll lead you out to hell and death. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the only reason why people are wanting a revival is because they missed what God has done. And they're not in the program of God. Like there's something I read yesterday here in Leviticus 17 that kind of, you know, you were talking about the sands of time, you know, and when the children of Israel were walking in the wilderness, when they went out of Exodus, went out of Egypt in 1446, around that BC, and God had specific feasts that He wanted them to hold. And the first feast was the feast of the Passover feast. And all these were pointing to a bigger picture, because He was wanting them to show something. He was wanting to direct them in a certain way. And when the time would come that they would recognize what He's doing. And but they were so blinded what He was trying to show them that they missed what He was doing. The same way with the Gentiles. They totally missed what God was pointing to when He sent the prophet. They totally missed it, and they missed the whole point of a revival and what it was for. And then now they're wanting a revival, but a revival is not going to come. It's just if you do not follow in the program of God, then you are outside of the camp. You're not following the way, the channel that God has. And it says here in Leviticus 17:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He had shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. Mm-hmm. Now there was, when they offered a sacrifice, they were to bring it to the tent meeting, the meeting tent. There before the tabernacle, there was an entrance into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holy. There was only one entrance. There was only one entrance into that tent. And before that entrance, they were to bring that sacrifice and to present it before the Lord. And if they did not do that, they were shedding blood, and they are to be cut off from the people. And that's how very strict God had it, because all this was pointing to a greater picture. It was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be one entrance to come to God, and that's to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what, and then God, even through the Grace Age channel, when you look at the feast, the seven church ages, he's going to have seven periods within the grace age that he's going to work by.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the channels that God goes through, like you were saying, the footprints. You have to follow those footprints. If you mm-hmm. don't, you're going to be outside the camp. You're going to be, like it says here, you will be cut off from among his people.
Amen.
That's what happens. People get cut off from the ways of God and they wonder what's going on. Then they want the revival, but they do not understand the program of God. The first thing that we had to do was surrender our will to him, mm-hmm. to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let him do with our lives as he leads and guides us by his Spirit, not what we decide one day what we're going to do. Like, I was so hungry for God when I read the book of Revelation, and I read about those seven church ages, like when the Lord first saved me, I was so hungry to know what that represents. And I asked people and nobody could tell me why those seven churches were in the book of Revelation. Why is it Ephesus? Why is it Smyrna? Why is it Pergamos? Why can't it be like other churches, right? Because there were more churches in Asia Minor than those seven.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Church of Corinth also. There was the Church of...
in Rome there was one.
Yeah, there was a church in Rome. There's different churches, the Thessalonians
mm-hmm.
and churches. But why were those seven specifically mentioned? What God was trying to do, that in these in the grace age, there is going to be conditions. There certain be conditions arise within time that will be exactly like those churches were in Asia Minor at that time, just to give us an understanding, a picture. And we could never really understand at all if we would not have followed those footsteps of Jesus that was working through the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. And through that, I received the answers that I was so hungry and I'm longing for. But like, when you're young, first of all, God works in your life to acknowledge there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, a person has to acknowledge there is a God. There's something greater beyond ourselves, and and he has ways and means and statutes that he wants us to follow. And when you come of age, through the Lord Jesus Christ, he reaches down and saves you, and then you become a new creation in him. And those are the footsteps, and then God opens your understanding to what his will is for your life. You know, that's every person needs to find that place, because if you don't find that place, you're just roaming out in the wilderness, never really reaching that place where you can, your life has a purpose.
You're outside of the will of God for your life.
That's right, because that's one thing that I always wanted in my life, that my life may have a purpose. And then what the end of your day has come, that you can look back and there's something in your life that had a meaning and a purpose, that you did something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that will matter at the end of your days. Like when you are at your last, your life flashes back and all you've done. And then when there's nothing in it you've done for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an empty life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can look back and you can find something that you have done for the Lord Jesus Christ, then at least you will have something to present in eternity.
Like we were saying over and over again about that man from Forest mm-hmm. River Colony, that Joe Mandel.
Right.
Like when you look back and you step back and you look, the sayings of time, there came a time when the Hutterites needed to be waking up, and they took that mantle, like Forest River Call. They were kind of liberal, and they were kind of open to things like that. But see, when he had that out-of-the-body experience, and he came back, and he said that Hutterite thing is nothing but first-class deception, and they looked at it, and it didn't it didn't please them too much. And mm-hmm. then they, before you know it, it went to sleep and everybody forgot about it. But see, he did his part. He came back and he warned us about it. I heard him with my own ears. I seen him with my eyes. I seen his lips tremble. But see, if you only got yourself, you open your eyes, it was the footprints and the saying of time, because that God, that great eternal spirit, knew it was now time to wake up the Hutterites. Way back in the early 70s, and he did his part, but people didn't do their part. They didn't pay attention. They went to sleep on it. And see, you and I, we just, when we heard about it, they did something to us. And like I say, there's footprints and the saints of time. If you can only drag yourself away from this deception and become sobered up instead of getting drunk with the wine of that religious fornication, like mm-hmm. the inhabitants of the earth have become. So open your eyes to reality. This is the only thing that's left, and that's left over from the grace age. And we keep going back when Jesus said, before he went to the crucifixion, mm-hmm. he said, he left us a blueprint. He said, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them, and I will send them. Like we keep saying it over and over, he sent those seven angels, those seven stars to the church age of Laodicea, and anything out of that is shedding innocent blood. If you're outside of that channel throughout the grace age, you're just going to go off to hell and death, because God has a channel. God has something that you stabilize it with. Even that, when you look at the feast, the one feast there, the second feast is given the that feast about the unleavened bread, that you cannot eat unleavened bread for seven church ages. Like if you mess with the word of God, if you put in there baptism in the title of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's messing with the program. And if you're not an Acts 2:38 throughout the grace age, you're automatically cast out. It's just that simple. You're not in that channel. And God's going to have no other place for you. You're going to go out to hell and that. All for those 2,000 years, people have adopted Satan's baptism. And that's why we're so strong. That's one of the first things the Lord dealt with me. There's one faith, one baptism, and one God. And we've been beating the drum for 40 years, practically 40 years, about that false, diabolical, satanic baptism. And they're still going out there baptizing people, forcing their young people to make a pact with the devil. And here we're coming along, we're trying to yank people back into reality, but it falls on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. But we still keep on the way, because that's the job we had. That's what I promised the Lord. If I knew there was a God, I would serve him. Mm-hmm. And then he got a hold of me back in the day, and let's go, we got some work to do. And that's what we're doing here. That's why we're doing what we're doing. People can take it or leave it. See, that's just the way it is. There's a Bible out there. People can read it or they can reject it. Mm-hmm. We've got a message here. People can accept it or reject it. Because just up the road here, might even be this year yet, but that rapture will come and that marriage supper of the Lamb is on, because we're living in the season of time where all these things will be fulfilled. All you got to do is look around, open up your eyes. You can see how God has begun restoring all things, bringing back everything. One of the first things he started to do, restore Israel, bring Israel back to their homeland, and then build their temple. And all this is in the process right now. All you have to do is just open up your eyes, and you see a little country over in the country of Israel, how they're demolishing all these Arabs around about on seven fronts. A war on seven or eight fronts. They're fighting them off, and they're very successful with it, because God has now begun the restoration of all things. Jesus Christ is no more on the seat of mercy. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will be in that position for 1,000 years until everything is restored back to the way it was. And you and I, we're the only people that sees the program. We know exactly what's going on out there. We know it right to the T. Simply because when I was 5 years old, I said, Lord, if I knew there was a God, I would serve him. And that the Lord heard that, and he put us on the court, and he prepared us. He gave us the information. He gave us the ammunition, and here he's got us rolling out that living water, because it's the only thing that's left here before that all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. The invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But see, we're still part of that stream. We go back what Jesus said, this is going to be eternal life. Everybody wants eternal life, but they want it on their condition. They cannot come under the shell and under the chamber of that living water, or that stream that's been flowing since the dawning of time, way before there was time even. The Lord put this stream into motion, and all we did, we tapped into that stream, and here, in the last 100 years, it's the church age of Laodicea, and we tapped into these two men that brought out, that did exactly what the Bible says, but in the days of the void, they were just voices. That angel took the local court of William Branham, and he brought out for 40 years tremendous truth from the Bible. And then he died, and then that angel took the local court of Raymond M. Jackson, and for 40 years he preached his heart out. And then when everything was over and done with, and he was gone, the Lord tested each one of us, and he found you and I faithful to deliver that meat in due season and to bring out that living water. Just that simple. Now, you don't have to believe it if you don't want, but you're going to be standing outside of the door knocking, wanting entrance. And God will just say, hey, I had a channel that you all you had to do was step into that channel. All you have to do was, what you had to do was believe the message for your day. That's the way it's always been. And we're just doing our job here. We're trying to do our level best, so that at the end of the day we'll be classified as faithful servant. That's all. That's our motivating factor. We got no ambition. We don't want nobody's money. In fact, we refuse to take money from anybody. We send it right back if they send it to us, as we're not interested, because mm-hmm. we have it all, because we tapped into that code. It's a code that you tap into. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what you and I did. We first sought that kingdom. We wanted to know what's going on at the book of Revelation. We sought that kingdom, even if we had to put our life on the line. And then his righteousness is simply the message for you today. We don't have to go out there gambling. We don't have to go and do whatever the world does to get money. And we don't have to take time, because God has promised us, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added on. Everything that you need for daily living, plus over and above, he'll give you safety, he'll give you 24-hour bodyguard, he'll give you all these things, everything that you need for daily living. And we just tapped into that code, into that channel, and we got it better than the kings of this world have it, because we got no worries. All we got to do is be obedient to the Spirit of the living God. Mm-hmm. Bring out his living water here in these closing days of time. That's all we're doing. It's not that hard, because he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All you got to do is crucify the natural man. Crucify the flesh. That's the biggest problem, is the flesh. The desires of the flesh. That's the thing that the devil can work through your five senses. Just that simple. Just other than that, it's a pretty simple journey, but you gotta know who your enemy is. You gotta know that the flesh, the world, and the devil is your enemy, number 1, 2, and 3. And once you know that, you can kind of help you through this world. Once you know where your enemies are, then it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's very important to believe the message for your day and hour, because in that message, like the Israel, when they were under that pillar by fire, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, they had protection from the heat mm-hmm. and the cold and everything. They had God's protection. And that's when you follow the righteousness for your day and hour, under that is the umbrella is God's protection, and he will see you through. Like those churches, they're outside there. They're outside the camp, and that's why a lot of them that you hear and see, they fall by some kind of pedophilia. You hear it more every day, how these people come out, and youth leaders and preachers, young preachers, how they get caught in some kind of a lifestyle that's an abomination to God. And mm-hmm. and that's why, it's because they're outside at God's protection. If you're not under God's protection, that's exactly where the devil will take you. You have no protection on your own.
You got to be within that channel.
That's right.
Within that camp. Mm-hmm. Within that like you're saying, they had to bring that second, it had to go through that Holy of Holies, and if it was anything outside of that, it was shedding innocent blood. And here's the same thing. If you're outside of this here, Brother Brenner, Brother Jackson channel, you can go out there and do your thing. Mm-hmm. You can even start up a church if you want. Mm-hmm. You can even start up a charity thing, a hospital and all that stuff. But it's got no value. At the end of the day, it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble that has no value whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And all these people, this Jimmy Swaggerts and this Johnny, all they're doing, they're trying to disprove that Brother Brenner was not that person. Mm-hmm. And here's the same thing, and this is how all they're doing, they're trying to prove that Brother Jackson, trying to destroy everything Brother Jackson ever taught. And then imagine what they'll do to us when they hear about us. They'll work overtime to try to make us irrelevant, you know. But God knows, at the end of the day, God's going to have his way anyway. People are giving people a freedom of choice. You can choose to believe what we're saying here, or you can go pave your way out to hell and death. We're at the point where each to his own, seek our own salvation with fear and trembling, and we and I have decided that we're going to follow the Lord. Do whatever it takes, no matter how much you get made fun of, or how much that stone that the builders rejected, no matter how many times they take him out to the dump, it's still, at the end of the day, God will have his final say-so in about all these things. Mm-hmm. We're just doing our job. We're just trying our level best to be faithful to what the Lord has called us to do. And here he has called you and me to be faithful, to deliver that living water that he talks about in the book of Revelation. Whosoever will, let him come and drink out of the waters of life freely. Blessed is he that's been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a glorious thing just up the road here. If people can only get themselves to that place where they can only believe it. You don't have to go through what we had to go through. You don't have to follow our footsteps. All you got to do is believe it. That's all there is. It's always been that way. All you got to do is believe the message for your day. Just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and give you thanks that you've led and guided our journey, Lord, that your word has been a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord, and it led us to the righteousness for our day and hour. And through that righteousness, Lord, we have had protection and your glorious presence, Lord. And we just want to present it to people, Lord, to follow your ways. There is blessings, Lord, because you have statutes and principles that you go by, Lord. And if people don't follow them, Lord, the Israelites, they had blessings and cursings. If they didn't follow your ways, there were curses on people, Lord, and they were led into dispersion, Lord, because of they rejected your ways, Lord. So, and it's still the same today. If people believe that you're going to make a way for them, if they don't, Lord, there's curses that follow, Lord. It's just the same way. It hasn't changed your principles and your statutes, Lord. So we just want to present it to people, Lord, and the choice is theirs, Lord. There's still the freedom of choice that the person has to make that decision for themselves. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.